time and energy are our most valuable resources. But success isn't just about what we do with our time. It's very much about how much of ourselves we bring to the time we have and how we feel about our choices. Welcome to Take Charge of Your Productivity with your host, Penny Zenker. We're here to bring you a whole new perspective on how to manage your precious time and energy. You'll gain key strategies, skills, and the necessary psychology that create the balance you are craving and deserve. Now, here is Penny Zenker.
This is the first show of the year. This is Penny Zenker, your host of Take Charge of Your Productivity. I'm excited to have you for this new year. 2016 has a lot of promise, and I know you've got big things planned, and so do I. So very exciting. So, and you already know, on this show, we host great authors, leaders, and entrepreneurs to explore your greatest potential by tapping in to the 10 core drivers of time and energy management. And so, you know, today we're going to talk about a really great topic, which is at the heart of productivity. And, you know, there's a philosophy out there called Lean, which you may be familiar with. And we're going to talk about how you can apply Lean thinking, that it's not just what you do, it's a way of thinking. And that's really exciting, because as we hit 2016 now, you know, what's gotten us to where we are today is not necessarily the same skills and mindset that we need to get us to where we want to be tomorrow. So that's why I thought this was a great show to start out, to shift our perspective in thinking and start out thinking lean. So, you know, and how you start the new year sets the tone and pace for the rest of the year. I know some people are talking about resolutions, but it really isn't about the resolutions. It's about the follow-through. So if the goals and resolutions that you create are realistic, the main reason that people don't follow through is what I said was, you know, in the mindset. It might not be the same mindset that you need. So today, you know, as I said, we're going to talk about lean, how simple it is to identify and eliminate waste. So this is going to be a really exciting show. And, you know, we're also going to talk about why people fail in their implementation and how you can avoid it, which is a really important aspect of it. Today we have a great guest. We have Paul Akers with us. Paul Akers is the founder and president of FastCap, an international product development company with distribution in 40 countries. FastCap was based in Bellingham, Washington, and launches approximately 20 new innovative products per year. Wow, that's a lot. And they're regarded as the lean leader among American manufacturers. Paul is a grandchild of Greek immigrants and was born and raised in Southern California, where he graduated with honors from Beaulieu University. He worked in Pasadena restoring historical homes and taught high school industrial arts. In 2000, Paul discovered Lean Manufacturing, or Toyota Production System, TPS, and this newfound knowledge helped him and his wife, Leanne, to take FastCap from a small startup in their garage into a successful product development company that it is today. Using Lean, Paul's company has prospered and expanded even through the economic downturn, having never laid off an employee nor cut one salary, all while continuing to offer the highest level of pay for any business in the region. That's impressive. Paul is an energetic speaker whose core passion is helping people discover their full potential in life. And his favorite quote is, "You can have everything you want in life if you just help others to get what they want." Great quote. And lastly, Paul, I'm so glad to have you here. Thank you so much for being here, and I'm so excited about talking about Lean and what Lean can provide us.
Well, Penny, thank you for the opportunity, and I'm equally as excited. This is my passion, helping people learn how to be more productive, and I'm so happy to talk about it today with you.
That's great. Well, so, you know, how do you start out in your basement, you know, or in your garage and end up where you are today? How does that happen?
You know, because I didn't have fear, And I talk about this a lot. You know, I'm just not afraid to try new things and fail. I love failure. It's such a weird concept. But every time I fail, I learn. And I just tried something, even though I remember specifically when I came up with my first product, the Fast Cap, I showed it to my in-laws. And they go, oh, you don't want to do that. They were so afraid that I would maybe leave my normal job of being a general contractor to start
right.
some crazy idea of doing an, making an invention actually be viable. And they were all afraid. And I just didn't have the fear. I said, I'm going to try it. And then one thing led to another. And the first month.
We're losing you, Paul.
The next month we sold 12,000, then we sold 17,000, then 25,000, then 35,000. And I go, wow.
That's exciting.
But, you know, I can figure out maybe how to invent a product and make it viable. And then I came up with another product and another product. Today we have 900 products.
Wow, unstoppable.
Because I wasn't afraid. And then I teach other people how to not be afraid. So all of our ideas actually come from our customers. They actually come up with all these great ideas because the people doing the work, as I discovered, because I was doing the work as a general contractor, actually have the best ideas. So we set up this entire model of our company by validating and respecting the very people who buy the product from us. So we're able to, we have this plethora of ideas coming at us all the time. It's just crazy. So that's how we did it.
So that's great. That is a motto. You know, on the way back from a client today, I was thinking about, you know, strategic thinkers, and because I'm doing a piece around strategic thinking. And I was thinking, you know, that's one of the things that strategic thinkers, they believe in only feedback. They don't believe in failure, right? There's only feedback, no failure. And because that's how, like you said, that's how you learn, that's how you grow, that's how you mm-hmm. test the markets and so forth. So, you know, is that at all, you know, involved in lean thinking?
Completely, because all lean thinking is we're just running thousands of experiments all day long. You know, all my people have to make one improvement every day before they ever work. Imagine, I've got 50 employees out there that have already made improvement to a process. So all lean is doing is saying, let's run an experiment. Let's say, what if we ask the question, what if we did this, would we get a better result? Then we run the experiment, and guess what? 50% of the time, we fail, but we learn what doesn't work. And then eventually we learn what does work, and the result of that is we get a lot more done with a lot less effort, a lot less energy. We become more productive. Then in the result of that, we add more value to our customers. Our customers love us more. We make more money. Everybody wins. Quality goes up. Everybody wins. It's a win-win for everyone, and that's why there's so much magic in the concept of failing, if you will. Because failing is really not failing, it's succeeding because you're learning.
That's right, you're learning. I'm not sure if there's something
learning.
On your phone, but you're cutting off a bit. Are you there?
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yes.
No problem. Just keep note to that because we want to capture every word that you're saying because it's awesome. I love that. You said there's magic in failure. I want to tweet that because I think that's really cool. Because there is, you're right, there is magic in failure. And somebody asked me the other day, I was doing an event, and they asked me, where do I get my drive? And I said, I get my drive from feedback, because without feedback, I can't stay in motion. So, and that helps mm-hmm. me to stay, you know, driven and in motion. So I love that there's magic in failure. That's
magic.
Really important. Now, let me ask you a question. You said, okay, every day your people come in and they have to look for one improvement every day. You know, I bet you there's a lot of business owners and people on the line here who are saying, well, that's fine. That might work for your business, but we don't have the time to do that. We don't, you know, we can't afford to make mistakes. I'm sure you hear all these types of, you know, excuses and reasons. What do you say to those people?
I feel sorry for them. I mean, I feel sorry for them that, you know, I'm going to be brutal right now just because maybe it'll get everyone's attention. Sorry for you that you're that ignorant, that you're that stupid. This is the path forward. This is why America is America. This is how every great civilization has moved forward and advanced. by taking the time to ask why, how, what if. This is the essence of life. You know, you take two stones together, you hit it together, you got a spark. I mean, thank God for the cavemen. You know what I mean? I mean, think about it. That's
true.
The life. Now, you have all these people now that work for you, and they're all seemingly educated comparatively to the constituency we had 400 years ago or 200 years ago. I mean, our people are relatively well-educated. We have the Internet. In a click of a second, you can find out anything you want on YouTube. I mean, we have all these resources to us, and you wouldn't want to harness? You wouldn't want to take the time to ask the people that are doing the work how it might be done better? I mean, you're crazy if you don't understand this. You're insane.
You're right. They are insane. And I think that we get stuck in these patterns, right? These patterns of behavior, whether it's as an individual with our patterns of thought or whether it's as a company as the pattern of behaviors, right? And I like that. You're encouraging everyone every day to step out of their comfort zone, ask what if, and to, you know, it's that investment into the future to be able to see what's possible and ask more questions. I believe that is something that people forget, is they forget to ask questions. And that's how you get, you know, new thoughts.
Well, Penny, you said it very clearly there. You said investment in the future. So what this thinking or mentality is, or this disposition, is long-term perspective, a long-term look at everything. And, you know, you take people like Buffett, you take people like Gates, you take people like Jobs, you take any of these great thinkers that we all know of, they're not short-term thinkers. They're not thinking of how am I going to make a buck today and tomorrow. They're thinking about what happens in 10 years with this technology, what happens in 20 years, what happens in 30 years. These people think long-term. Lean thinkers think long-term. They invest in a knowledge-based, learning-based organization, so that the future is bright. They invest in their people's learning now so the future is guaranteed. It's so simple.
It is simple, yet it's not simple, right? It's one of those things where it's simple yet not.
Yeah, and you know, and I think it's just that retraining of changing people's perspective to say it's not about today, it's about the future.
Mm-hmm.
And once you get people to make that jump, all of a sudden the short term fades away and the long term becomes the driver. And the long term is the driver for me. That's all I think about is long term. People say, how do you afford to spend tens of thousands of dollars a day training your people? Because that's literally what we do. We just had a lecture. We have FastCap University. Every morning we meet for a half hour to 45 minutes. Yesterday our morning meeting was 1 hour. Imagine having 50 people for 1 hour not making anything in your company. I mean, the dollar signs are just spinning. I mean, we pay people very well here, right? I mean, it's just crazy. Well, we've done that every year, every day for 10 years. Could you imagine?
And so what do you do in those meetings? In those sessions? What is it that you're learning?
Well, that's a good question. So the first thing we do is we look at the metrics of the company. We look at the key performance indicators. We look at every department is on time. If there's any problems, we address those issues. Okay? We go over all the improvements that people have made. So a lot of people go around, they talk about the improvements they've made in the department. So we're collaborating, and people are learning from each department on the improvements that are being made so they can cross-pollinate and make those same improvements in other departments. Then we have a history lesson. Then we have a lean lesson. We study lean principles. Today we had Norman Bodoc, the father of lean, speak to our company for 45 minutes, talk about his experience with Shingo and Ono. These are the people that start and Deming. I mean, this is the level of training that we're doing with our people. Right? And this is what we do every
day. That's amazing.
It's not like, oh, this is the conference we're going to go to this month, or we go to three conferences a week, or we have a retreat that we take our people on. Nonsense. This is every day. And this is the level our people are working at because of it.
And I'll bet you they're so much more engaged because you're investing in them in that level.
It's electric. People walk in, they go, I've never been in a company like this. Everybody's like happy. Everybody's like totally into it. Everybody knows what's going on. Everybody's like communicating with one another. I go, well, it's pretty simple. We invest daily in creating this culture of continuous improvement so we raise productivity, not a little bit. I mean, for instance, our cost of labor, just to give an idea, went from 12%, are you ready for this? 12% to 9% in just 1 year.
Wow.
I mean, people would die to have those kinds of numbers. That's
right.
The level of productivity gains we're getting.
Right. That's amazing. And this is year after year, right?
Yeah. And the thing is, we're already starting off at productivity levels that blow everybody else away.
Right. You're already
right.
at a very high level. And I want to make that point for people who are listening, whether you're live or you're catching this on podcast. I mean, it doesn't matter where you start. There's always another level of improvement, right? There's always some level of tweaking that can be done. And I use the analogy of karate, right? There's always another level of mastery. So there's not just
Absolutely.
One level of black belt. There's multiple levels of black belt, because mastery is just in that sense, is that mindset of knowing that you're always striving to be a little better.
Right. You know, Penny, in the bio, you said that it said, and you read it correctly, that we launch 20 new products a year. You know, we haven't updated that bio. Shame on us for a long time. Just yesterday, we launched two products, just yesterday, and we'll launch two more by the end of the week.
Wow.
We're launching literally hundreds of products.
That's amazing. That is amazing.
Yeah,
the
speed at which we do it is crazy.
So I think the point that we've made, and that's what I wanted to bring in my intro too, is that lean is a philosophy of thinking, correct?
Philosophy of thinking, but it needs to go into your core, into your heart, into your soul. If you really want to know lean, it's not technical lean. It becomes a part of your being, if you will.
Okay, so tell us about the lean principles at a high level, so that people who haven't ever been introduced to lean, don't even know what it is, never had any exposure, what could be like the child's version of explaining what lean is?
Well, the version that I like to tell and that I live and breathe and I teach all over the world is simply lean is all about one thing and one thing only, the elimination of waste. And specifically, the elimination of 8 different kinds of waste that Toyota has identified. And once you eliminate, or once you can see the 8 wastes spinning around in your little world every day, then everything changes. Your whole reality is transformed. But the problem is, of the 7 billion people that are in the world, most people have no clue what those 8 wastes are. But the minute you tap an individual into those 8 wastes, everything changes. So here are the 8 wastes. I'm going to make it so simple it's unbelievable. And I'm
awesome.
Going to use the analogy of making a salad. Okay? So
cool.
The first waste is overproduction, when you make too much of something. So I invite a couple to have dinner with my wife and I. I go ahead and start to prepare the salad. But because I'm not a and I don't know how to process things well, and I haven't identified effective processes, I make a salad enough for 6 people, but I only have demand for 4. So we serve dinner, and at the end of the dinner, there is enough salad left for 2 more people. So now I've overproduced. Now what do I do with that overproduced product, that salad? I have to transport it back to the kitchen. So now I pick it up, and I walk back to the kitchen with this excess salad. Now what do I have to do with the excess salad? I have to put it in inventory. That's the third waste. And now I have to have a refrigerator. So now I open up my refrigerator, but my refrigerator is not big enough, so I have to buy a big one. Next thing you know, I got a Sub-Zero because I've got all this overproduced food in there that I really don't need because I'm not operating off a just-in-time model or far from just-in-time. We have massive amounts of storage. So now I put this salad in the refrigerator. We have the third waste. The first one was overproduction. Then we transported the salad. Now we've got an inventory in the refrigerator. 2 days later, I open the refrigerator, and I'm hungry, and I see that salad with the cellophane over the top. But I pull it out. I look at it. I go, oh, that doesn't look very good anymore. It looks kind of wilted. And so now I've got a defect. Now, a defect is the fourth waste. So now I've got to deal with that.
What is it called again?
A defect. A defect. An error.
Oh, a defect. I'm sorry. Defect.
Yeah.
right.
a defect. The salad's not good anymore. So now I have to overprocess the defect. I've overproduced it in the first place. Now I have to do something with that defect. So I have a couple choices. I can throw it in the trash, or I can add more salad dressing to it to make it maybe a little more tasty, right? So I do one of those two things. Now, because now I'm overprocessing, I've got the defect, now I'm overprocessing, and in the process of doing that, I'm wasting my motion because I'm scraping this stuff into the garbage, and then I got to carry it out to the trash, because if I didn't overproduce, I wouldn't even have to go to the trash can. But now I've created more trash, so I've overproduced it. Now I've wasted motion. Meanwhile, the customer's waiting. My wife wants me to make dinner because it's the next two nights later, but I'm screwing around with all this overproduction, overprocessing, transportation. My wife's waiting, and then I've wasted my potential because I've got this powerful brain sitting on top of my shoulders that has the capacity to solve all the world's problems, but I'm so entrenched in my overproduction and all the ramifications of the overproduction that I'm wasting my valuable potential as a human being. Those are the eight ways. That happens every day to every human being in every process you do, from brushing your teeth to collecting your car keys to answering your email to making widgets to processing legal documents, you couldn't show me a process in the world that those eight ways do not exist in.
All right, let's review those eight again, because they, as you said, just being aware of what they are and giving you that, you know, that filter can change everything. So it was, number one was overproduction, right?
Number one is overproduction. We made too much salad. We'll attach it
right.
to that now. We made too much salad.
Number two is the transportation of the salad back into the kitchen. Number three,
okay.
If I understood, was I missed one or two, so I want to make sure. So number three is the inventory. So now I've got to do
right.
something with this extra inventory, these two portions of salad, right?
You got it. We put it in the refrigerator.
Okay. And number four is defect, because I took it out and it wasn't good anymore, right?
You got it. You got it. You're doing it
so
perfect, Penny. You get it.
I got up to here, but I at the end, I missed getting all of them. I want to make sure everybody on the call gets all of them, because that's important.
Okay, so now
so
we have
the next one is overprocess.
Right. We're going to overprocess. We have to add an additional process to take care of the defect, to overcome the defect. So we have to rework
right.
The product. So now we're going
to right. So we have to do a workaround there. We have to overprocess it.
Mm-hmm.
And
you got
and
it.
Number
and the
six
process of doing that is motion. Now we've got
okay.
Motion.
Six
now
is the
I've
motion.
I got to scrape the salad into the trash can. I've got to take the trash out. Now the garbage man has to come pick it up more times a week than he had to before. You see what I'm saying? Now we have to
yeah.
put it in the landfill. We have to manage it with a D8 for the next 40 years. We have to monitor the methane gas. We have to create all kinds of statistical data to make sure the landfill is not over polluting or there's no water runoff.
All right, we got it. It's
stuff.
A lot of stuff. It's a lot of extra stuff. So what's number seven? I missed number seven.
Waiting. Now
waiting.
The customer is waiting. Because we're all here to serve people and to help our customers. But because we're so caught up in taking care of the first six wastes that are occurring in our organization nonstop, we can't
mm-hmm.
service the customer very effectively. So the customer is waiting.
Got it. And then the last one was
okay.
Number eight was potential. Is that right? We're wasting our potential.
We say wasted employee potential or wasted human potential.
All right, got
because
it.
We
all
have,
right, everybody's
we have,
got
we
that.
Have humans doing stupid, we have humans doing stupid work.
Got it. And they need to be doing the thinking work.
You got solving problems. Solving problems.
Right.
Experiments.
Awesome. So what I love that you said is there isn't a process out there that you can't apply this to. Because I wanted to make sure that everybody understood. Because a lot of people think, oh, lean's just for manufacturing. Right? So I wanted them to understand that this is a way of thinking and it can be applied to any process and almost everything is part of a process.
No, not almost. everything in life.
Oh, excuse me. I wanted to like, you know, save face in case I was wrong.
No, it's okay. They're, you know, I walk into organizations around the world, and they say, Paul, well, you know, we didn't think you'd be able to find really much here because we really know what we're doing.
Right.
And within 1 hour, they're like on the floor crying. They can't believe the amount of waste that they're producing every day. They go, we had no idea. And it's so obvious, Paul. We were so blind to it.
Right.
And I'm going, it's everywhere. It's staggering. It's so bad.
So what I'd love to do is take something like you mentioned email, processing email. Let's just go through that because I think that's one of the things that I hear people all the time complaining about, even though it's one of those things where, you know, they created – the challenge is partially created by themselves. But, you know, how would you apply sort of these waste principles to email?
Well, the number one thing you need to understand is you can't have a batch work if you're really a lean thinker. So 98% of every human being in the world that answers emails does it on a batch system. So I'll send an email to someone, and I'm lucky if I get a reply in 3 days, sometimes 2 weeks. But if you send an email to me, you'll get a reply most often in 3 minutes.
I know. I experienced that. And I thought, shouldn't you be doing some process or something?
You got it. You got it. Because my customer, you want to have information from me. And I treat you as my customer. I treat you with respect. I don't say, oh, well, you're not important, Penny. No, you ask for information. So I refine my processes in the way I manage my email. I get 300 emails a day.
So how do you do that? You answer them individually. How do you do that?
It's very simple.
I want to take one step back, and the reason that I'm asking this is because this is a very different way of thinking as approach to email because, myself included, a lot of people are proposing that you do them in batch at certain times of the day because otherwise it's a distraction for the other work that you're doing. So I'd love I love new perspectives and opening up my mindset. So tell us.
Okay, so my job in life, by and large, is to teach and train people around the world how to do lean. That's what I do. That's what people ask me to do. So they're constantly communicating with me through email. So this is the way I do it. It's very simple. Number one, if it's a high-volume person, if you're going to start communicating with me, Penny, you know, 2 or 3 times a week, I would immediately switch you over to an application called Voxer, WeChat, or WhatsApp. And you would send all your messages to me via a voice message, a voice memo. You say, hey, Paul, what do you think of this? It would show up on my phone. I would push a button, hold it back, and reply to you instantly. So fast. Mm-hmm. It's 10 times faster than email. Then I would encourage you, if it became technical, to make videos, shoot short little video clips with your phone, and transmit that information to me through video. So every day I get hundreds of videos from people that I look at, but I always tell them it's got to be under 60 seconds. I'm not going to look at a long video. Show me what your problem is, and I'll reply back to you. Oftentimes I'll reply back with a video because there's so much more dense in information. And it does such a more complete job of getting the information. So, number one, high-volume users go to WhatsApp, WeChat, or Voxer, one of those apps that allow for quick, easy communication. The next thing I do is whenever I answer an email, I use Siri to type it. I never type anything. That's just the stupidest thing in the whole world. I push the button.
Me too. I love Siri.
I know. It's awesome. So I type that with Siri. That's number two. Number three, if it requires a more detailed answer and a video is not – the right medium, I push the audio memo feature on the iPhone and record a quick, pithy 30-second to 60-second audio message and email it to them immediately, which is a lot more dense. They can hear the inflection of my voice, the passion, and the direction I want to go. That's another way I do it. And then the next thing I do is I'm constantly watching the emails as they come in, and I'm deleting them and keeping the box completely clean, empty at all times. I don't want anything in my box, which frees up my mind to work and be more productive at the things I need to do.
Hmm.
It's very simple.
That is a really interesting perspective. I like
it. It works pretty well.
So Let me ask you, can I bring you some of the things that people might say around that, just to hear what your perspective and how you approach that? So I love the idea that people could send a video or an audio. But what comes to my mind, maybe some of the other people on, because, you know, we're not used to this way of thinking, is, well, what if I need to go back to it to refer it? Then I have to listen to the whole thing again as opposed to, you know, quickly scanning a text, you know, or an email or something.
Well, that's just not the case. That's very rare that you have to do that. And the bottom line is, the goal is to communicate something effectively the first time so you can get the job done. And the video and the audio message does a 10 times better job than a written text. There's just no comparison. Right?
Well, I agree. So, I mean, I like the fact because it's better communication because you're, as you said, there's inflection. You know, there's a lot of misunderstanding that happens across email in terms of tone and things like that. And I don't know if you've heard of this whatever they call it, that the people get like these email balls, right? That they say things in email or a text that they would never say like face to face to somebody. So if you were going to audio it or do a video, it's really authentic, right? It's really authentically what they're trying to communicate.
You got it. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So I'll give you a couple good examples. So literally, I've had massive organizations convert over to this way of communication. So I have one company right now with 8,000 employees in Kazakhstan that converted over to using WeChat and WhatsApp to communicate. So it's a huge construction company. So every day they need to make all these improvements to their processes so they get the work done more effectively with less defects, right? They understand the eight ways. So every time one of their 8,000 employees makes an improvement, they post a quick little video, and that's transmitted basically to the entire company, and the company sees the improvement, and then they're able to transmit that, cross-collaborate to job sites all over the country. I mean, nobody's doing this kind of stuff. It's insane. And people would be concerned about having a text email to read through and scan in case they have to review it. I mean, this company blew by all that stuff. The level of communication and the rapid improvements that are happening because of they understand the power of effective communication, it just dwarfs all the objections.
Well, and I think also that it reinforces the touch it once principle, right? Which is, you know, don't go back and read it again. Read it and absorb it properly the first time. Act upon it, and then it's done.
You got it.
I like that.
That's the defect. The defect is when you send an email and it's not clear, and then you have to overprocess it by sending another email and another email. The way I do it, number one, you quick audio message on Boxer or WeChat or WhatsApp. Hey, Penny, you know what? I'm going to meet you at the show. We're going to talk about the show. We'll do this. Yeah, Paul, that's perfect. I got it. We did one little Boxer back and forth, equivalent of 20-second exchange, and there was total clarity as opposed to an email. What exactly is Penny talking about? I can't reply back to you. You know, it's insane. It's totally insane the way you communicate. There's so much better. There's so much more effective ways to do it.
Yeah. Absolutely. I like that. And, you know, what would you say for, you know, I could see also the people coming up and saying, well, what about the distraction level of it, of the individual processing? Like as it comes in, process it. You know, are you saying that it should ding and tell me that I have something while I'm working on a project or something like that?
I think that you need to set up a model that works for you. I'm telling you the model that works for me. My role in the world is to help people implement and build lean cultures. So I make myself highly accessible to people around the world so when they have a question of me, at the moment that's brewing inside of them, that I can deliver it to them just in time. Now, I'm an unusual person. But because I'm so productive at everything I do, from making videos to developing products, you know, hundreds of new products a year, right? Because I'm so productive on all elements of my life, I can afford to be accessible to people like that because I get so much more done than everybody else.
Right. No, absolutely. A question for the, you know, for the service business, for somebody who's in a different type of business, would that apply as well? Like, do you see that as being a model, or is it, like you said, it depends on the circumstance and they have to think about what you're saying and apply it as it makes mm-hmm. sense and test it. Test it, I guess, is what you said in the beginning.
What I would say. The only thing that matters in the world is the customer. You're irrelevant. You are here to serve your customer. And if your customer asks a question, you better figure out how to answer that question just in time. If you don't, a competitor will. That's all there is to it. So figure out how to refine your processes to deliver what your customers want when they want it. No excuses. That's all we're trying to do.
Awesome. So I wanted to ask you, because we'll get into some of the other questions that I have, but I ask every guest this question, and it's how do you define productivity and why?
Productivity is defined when work is fun, work is easy, there is no burden, you have intense creativity surrounding the work that you're doing because the productivity level of what you're doing is awesome. That's how I describe productivity. Work should be
cool.
Fun, it should be easy, it should be ever improving, it should be like, wow, check out what I did today, so you can be productive to use your brain to improve.
Great, love it. So tell me, is there an X factor for you that makes that possible?
I don't know if I understand the question, Penny.
If there was only one thing, and I can imagine in my head what that might be. If there was only one thing that you said is the difference that makes the difference to make people productive, what would you say it is?
Only one thing. Learn.
Only one thing.
See the eight ways. Learn to see the eight ways in everything you do, from brushing your teeth to cleaning your house to managing your car to managing your finances to managing your health. Learn to see how the eight ways are dancing around in your life and robbing you of so much productivity and effectiveness. Once you see the eight ways, as my great friend Lauren Jones says, you can't unsee it. Once you see the way, you will never, ever again for the rest of your life be able to unsee it. It will haunt you, and it will haunt you into creating the most powerful and effective and joyous life you've ever had in your whole life, you could ever imagine.
That's awesome. I love that. It's true. Once you see it, you can't really unsee it. You can deny that you see it, but it'll actually only make you feel uncomfortable that you're trying to unsee it, right?
That's right. And once you see it, baby, you got to do something about it. But most problems, most people don't see it. So I teach people to see the eight ways. And that's all. I can walk away. I can teach somebody who's been blind their whole life to see the eight ways. And once they see it, I can walk away, and that person is changed for life.
That must be feel so good to go into different businesses, and I know that I do it in a different capacity, and just help those businesses unlock the barriers that are holding them back.
You got it. I mean, that's why I have so much joy in my life. That's why I say once you see the eight ways and once you start to eliminate it, you will build the most productive, successful, joyous life you could ever imagine, because this concept is so far-reaching and has such massive ramifications, it's crazy.
So tell us, why do people fail in their implementation, and how can we avoid that?
Oh, that's easy. Ego. Ego, genius disease. Critical.
Genius disease.
Genius disease. I know it all. You can't teach me anything. Oh, I knew that. Oh, I already do that. Oh, I hear it all the time. And I go, great.
Right.
You already do it. You don't need to know this then. And I am an expert at this. And I am worthless at it. The waste in my life is so staggering. I have enough waste in my life right now to last me 100 lifetimes. And I'm an expert at the highest level. The amount of waste that's swirling around in my life, I'm discovering it every day, and I'm just like, oh, my gosh, this is terrible. But then I'm over.
That's discouraging, Paul. That's discouraging. It's one of those to-do lists that never goes away.
No, but here's the deal, Penny. Every day my life is better than the day before. Every day of my life is quantitatively better because I saw the waste and I took action to eliminate it. And I'm like, I'm living a dream.
So let me ask you a question, because I have a few things that pop up in my head that are like, you know, different types of waste. So would you consider, like, if you have negative people in your life, or, you know, drama, or, you know, those types of things, are those, can those be considered waste too? Because, you know, they waste your time, they waste your energy.
The biggest waste of all. The biggest waste of all. You know, I have a saying in my life, there are two kinds of people in the world. There are givers and there are takers. Your goal in life should be to be a world-class giver, the best in the world at giving and helping other people. And then to get all takers and suckers out of your life as fast and furiously as you can. Run like the wind. Yes. Run like the wind. I don't have those people in my life because I know who they are. I know what they act like. I know what they look like. And I banish them from my life instantly. I am surrounded by people that love to give, contribute, and work collaboratively as a team to improve the entire organization and the world that they're functioning in. And that is magic. But I am deliberate about getting rid of those people that you're describing.
So how do you help people? Because as you said, that's one of the biggest wastes, right? And in my productivity curve, I talk about perfection and procrastination. So let's talk about procrastinating in, you know, in making a change in personnel in the organization where it's just not working. You know, sometimes there are people who are toxic to the organization for whatever reason, and people aren't making the decision. How do you apply, at least for yourself, if not for others, how do you apply your lean thinking in that context?
Well, my whole model, the name of my book, I have two books, but the name of the book that we're referring to here is called 2 Second Lean. So I realized when I was teaching this to people that a lot of people are paralyzed, if you will, kind of like what you're describing, because the task is so big. You know, you said, oh, it's such a huge list. I say, here's how you start. You find something that bugs you, something that irritates you, something that's maybe just a little bit difficult. Like one of my favorite stories is a little girl, 7 years old, Katie, in the UK. So Katie found out when she heard me speak and she heard my talk, she said, you know, it bugs me that every morning when my parents say I'm ready to go to school, I have to search around for my backpack. I can't find my backpack. And so then I'm late and there's pressure on me. And I realized that bugged me. So she found she put a hook up in her bedroom where the backpack hung. She made a process. She improved the process. She identified waste, the overproduction, the waiting. She identified the 8 ways, and she put a specific place where the backpack always goes. So when she came home, she hung the backpack there. Then every morning when her parents said it's time to go to school, she grabbed the backpack and went out. She removed the stress. She fixed what bugged her. She made one tiny 2 second improvement. That's all you have to do. Identify what bugs you, make one small improvement, then make another small improvement, and make another small improvement, and do that every day for the rest of your life, and you will have a magical life.
See, so then it doesn't feel, so when you think about it like that you're just taking the little things that bug you, right, in your everyday, then it doesn't feel like a big list. It just feels like you're focused on just improving things. And I love the idea of, you know, every day looking at one little thing that you can improve. Because that makes us happy. When we make those improvements, even though how small they are, I mean, I know when I put up my, you know, for a long time I was throwing my keys in different places, and I'm like, why am I doing this? I just put up a hook in the laundry room, so I put my keys there, and it's so much more satisfying.
You got it. It's that simple. The whole thing is so simple. Everything we talked about today is really, there's no like crazy formula for it. It's a massive dose of common sense. I say it's the Niagara Falls of common sense, Lee. It's just, oh my gosh, this makes so much sense. It's crazy. And anyone can do it. That's why I'm so excited about it, because I've been able to teach people in all walks of life, all economic backgrounds, rich, poor, non-educated, educated. I can teach this concept to anyone, and it's life-changing.
That's great. Do you, you know, what I'd love to, do you have a service business? Because I, you know, again, I think people get stuck in the lean manufacturing. I think they totally get it, that this is a way of thinking and a way of behaving. in the everyday. Do you have a service business that you worked with and an example of some of the things that you might have helped them to look at?
Oh, gosh, it's just everywhere you go. I mean, one of the best examples I give you is right here in Washington State. Washington State adopted Lean a few years back, and their Department of Motor Vehicles is nothing short of magic. You walk in, the people are happy, the processes are super clean. It takes minutes instead of hours to get your license renewed and to deal with the things there, all because they realize, first, number one, they're there to serve the customer. They're not there for their jobs. They're not there for their health benefits. They're not there for any other reason but to serve the customer. Once they got that paradigm correct in their mind, then all of a sudden they said, how do we serve the customer more effectively? How do we make the processes more efficient? So they began to refine those processes. And you walk into the DMV in Washington State, it's magic. It's crazy.
Wow. I don't think any DMV that I've ever heard of or been at, I think you should have – you know, do a tour and go through all the DMVs, and I think you'd have all the American population really happy with you.
Oh, yeah, it's crazy. I mean, yeah, when I went to the DMV about a year ago to renew my license, it was really cool, and I went through the whole process, and I go, wow, this is crazy good. I got up to the counter where you had to pay, and the gal said, I said, man, people are really happy here. This was really easy. I mean, it's so efficient. And she pulled out my book and she said, Paul, would you sign this? And I go, oh, my gosh. She said,
awesome.
Everyone's read your book.
That's great. What a beautiful testimonial, right, to go in and see it in action. I know that you go in and you start with people and so forth, but to have somebody who have implemented it, you know, in that way and then come in and see it and recognize it, that's great.
It was pretty cool. Pretty exciting.
So we have about 10 minutes left. What additional tips is there, you know, maybe as the new year starting, what would you say would be the, you know, some of the additional tips that you could give us?
Well, you know, something that I'm very passionate about right now is my first book was 2 Second Lean, How to Build a Fun, Lean Culture that Implements Lean. And not just one or two people or a lean department, but the notion that everyone within the organization can improve in a lot of ways. But now, you know, one of the things that I'm probably most passionate about right this minute is I just finished my second book called Lean Health. How do you take lean principles and apply it to having exceptional health? And I mean, here we are the first of the year, all the resolutions, you know, I want to lose weight, I want to do this. I mean, the idea, I mean, most people would love to have exceptional health. I mean, it's hard to know anybody that wouldn't want that. Well, I just finished a book about how I delivered exceptional health by applying lean principles and understanding the 8 ways on how they apply to the way we manage the process of our health, how we exercise, how we eat, and everything else. And I would say, wow, one of the most exciting tips I could ever give anybody, and one of the most exciting things for me, is to discover how to have exceptional health through applying lean principles and understanding the 8 ways. Because, number one, we overproduce too much food, right? And then we transport it with our fork to our mouth. Then we put an inventory around our stomach and on our butts, right, and every other place. You follow that? And then we have defects because now we have to go to the doctor 10 times more because we have to get drugs because we have to take high blood pressure medicine and anti-acid medicine and Xantex and Protex and who knows all the crap we have to take. You know, I mean, we're so drug addicted, it's insane. So there is, you know, we've got the defects now from the excess fat and the poor health, and now we've got the overprocessing of taking all the drugs, right? And then we're wasting motion because we're going back and forth to the doctor to manage all this stuff and pick up our prescriptions. Meanwhile, the customer, our body, is the most important customer in the world. Our body is our customer.
That's right.
But our mind, our head treats it like crap, right? We treat it like crap. We're not treating it like it's the most valuable customer. You think about what your body is. It's the most. I'm a design engineer, right? This is what I do for a living. I design products. I mean, if I told my design engineering team, go design a human body, they'd look at me like I was crazy. I mean, this is the most sophisticated trillion-dollar concept, I mean, mechanism in the entire world. I mean, it far outweighs a Ferrari. I said, you should treat your body like you treat a Ferrari. I mean, a Ferrari is this beautiful machine, right? And you would treat it perfectly. You would polish it. You'd put the best fuel in it. You'd do everything perfect, right? But our body's like a gazillion times more valuable than a Ferrari, and we treat it like crap. So our body is waiting. Our body's waiting for us to finally figure out that, hey, we should start treating it right, and we're wasting the potential of what God gave us, this magical vehicle that we experience life through. So I would say, if I was going to give you one tip, is recapture exceptional health by understanding the eight wastes and how they applied and how you imposed them on the management of your health. That's what I did. And I went from, and I tell the story, I went from basically 215 pounds to basically 265 pounds, what I weigh today. I'm completely ripped. I'm in the best health of my life. And I could outrun, I could run circles almost 18-year-old, and I'm 55 years old. So how do you go, how do you deliver that kind of result? Well, I simply applied lean to the way I manage my health, and the rest is history. It took me 1 year, and I'm, like, killing it.
That's awesome. That's absolutely. Why shouldn't it apply to every area? And I'm really excited that you brought out a book that is about that, because, that's a great statement that our body is the most important customer in the world. It is to us, right? Because if it's not happy, we ain't happy.
Well, honestly,
right?
Think about it. If you don't have your health, what do you have? You have nothing. It's over with.
You have nothing. That's right. And it's the first thing that we take advantage of, right? Or that we, take for granted.
Not only that, we don't just take for granted, Penny. We abuse it.
Yeah.
We abuse
it. Because we think that it,
I talk about this in the book a little bit. If you walk around, and I have been overweight my entire life. You know, I've always been 215 pounds. I should be 165. That's what the Surgeon General says I should weigh, right? But I've been overweight my entire life. If you really stop and look around, 95% of most people out there are fat. They're overweight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Why? Because they're not managing the process of their health effectively. And if you can capture that concept, how to more effectively do that, this is a game changer. This is a giant game changer.
You know, and what I want to point out here is, because you're right, it is a game changer, and it's really critical for people to get this message, because the trends are going in the wrong direction, is that it's about, you know, lean and what you're applying here to our bodies and everything. It's about efficient and effective, right? And that's what I talk about in my book, The Productivity Zone, because that's where the zone is where efficiency and effective meet. Because people might say, fast food, right? It's fast, and that's what's making people fat. But, you know, just because it's fast doesn't make it effective, right? It's efficient maybe in terms of time, but it's not effective.
Well, there are all different levels of efficiency. The big driver for the lean people is quality. So we look at everything based on does it deliver more quality. That's why Toyota, you know, the highest resale value. What did the Japanese do? When you think of Japan, what do you immediately think of? You think of quality. You think of Panasonic. You think of Canon. You think of Sony. You think of Toyota. You think of Kubota. You think of Honda, right? The best brands in the world are Japanese. Why? Because of quality. Really, when we talk about productivity, we don't just want to be productive. We want to be productive at producing quality.
Right.
Because if you produce poor quality, are you really productive? You're creating defects. You're creating rework. You're creating the need to have to repurchase and rework the thing you bought in the first place.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I guess that's where I was going with the effective being that it's the quality, it's the value that you're delivering at that level.
At the fast food level. Exactly. So
yeah.
We think it's effective. We think it's productive. But in the truth, if it puts on weight on us, if it causes us to take all these medications to compensate, we're creating all these defects. Have we really saved any time? Not only have we shortened our life, we've shortened the quality of our life. We've shortened the ability to do many things that we would like to do, but now we're bound either to a wheelchair or we can't go on the hike with our grandchildren because it's too steep and too rigorous. I mean, I'm planning on skiing in Aspen when I'm 100 years old. That is my flat-out goal. I'm going to do that. And
awesome.
This is the way, because I pursue quality. I'm not interested in productivity when it doesn't have a quality attached to it.
Right. Well, and as you said, that's not productivity. That's just production.
Right.
Right. That's just mass production. So absolutely. Well, you know, Paul, it has been so great having you here. And I want to give you a chance to, you know, again, tell people where they can go to get a hold of your books and to, you know, possibly have you come in and talk to them and teach them the lean principles so that they too can really, you know, tighten up their business.
Sure. No problem. So 2SecondLean.com, the number 2, the digit 2, and then SecondLean.com. And you can find me there, and you can download all the books free. You can download the digital version for the Kindle and the iPad. You can listen to the audio version. It's all there. You can download it and listen to it for both books, 2 Second Lean and Lean Health. If you just type into YouTube, Lean Health, my digital audio version's right there along with videos. And it's so easy to find me. If you type in Lean is Simple, it has 139,000 views. It's my hour and a half talk that I gave, and it's on exactly kind of what we talked about a little bit today, with a lot more in depth and a lot of cool videos that illustrate all the points. But you can do that. If you want to take a tour of our company, you can type in Lean Tour. It's the number one hit on Google. It has 94,000 views of people watching our company and how we work and how we think. So find anything you'll ever do.
Awesome. Thank you for being here, Paul. It was great having you.
My pleasure, Penny. Thank you for doing what you do.
My pleasure. It's fun. Give everybody new perspectives and have them live better, healthier, happier lives. That's what it's about.
That's the goal. You got it.
That's the goal. Well, and thank you, our listeners, for coming here and investing this time in yourself so that you can be personally and professionally more productive, happier, more satisfied. Because as we said, that's the goal, that we're continually working with you, for you, to make you better. And so just to summarize a little bit about what we talked about today is, you know, we talked about the 8 wastes and how realizing what the 8 wastes are is going to be a game changer for you in the way that you look and approach things. And what better of a perfect time now in 2016, in January, getting started of the new year, is to have these 8 wastes in mind. That's overproduction, transportation, inventory, defects, overprocessing, motion, waiting, and human potential, right? Those are all the 8 wastes, and if you go to 2secondlean.com, you're going to be able to get more information about that, more information on that book and go into more detail. So this is a game changer, people. You've got to take a look at different ways of looking at things and look at areas that you can bring in better value, greater quality, and at the same time, in a much more efficient way. So the one thing that Paul started out with, which I'm going to leave you with, is really take a look at how you can every day take a look at one thing that bugs you, because I love what he said around that. Take one thing that bugs you and look at how you can improve it. Just by that alone, if you did that every day, even if you only did it once a week, that's still 52, right? That's still a large number of changes in your life that are going to bring about positive change. So that's awesome.
You know, Penny, one other thing I should have said, obviously my books and everything's available in all the obvious places, Amazon, Audible, and all those places as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well,
so you know.
Thanks again, Paul, and thank you all for being here. I just want to let you know that, you know, send me a note and let me know what you thought and what kind of topics you want to hear, because I'm here for you. This is Penny Zenker. We'll see you next week, reminding you to take charge of your productivity and stop managing your time and start managing your energy. See you next week, everyone. Take care.
A 10 to 50% productivity increase on a daily basis. Does that sound incredible? It feels incredible. Penny Zenker's clients around the world are using the Take Charge techniques to achieve more of their goals. Start by going to TakeChargeRadio.com. You'll find access to a self-assessment and a 30-day coaching journal to start your process. Go there today, and who knows how much more you'll be accomplishing tomorrow. Visit TakeChargeRadio.com.
Penny.